might like to stay and hear that. But if you have youngsters and you would like to take them back, we do have a nursery and a toddler room. Please feel free. You can take them back now at this time or just any time if you'd like. Feel free to do that, all right? Leave that up to the parents. You know, we celebrate today what we call Easter Sunday. Actually, Easter is not the Christian word, so I'd like to say Resurrection Sunday. Nothing wrong with calling it Easter. But you know, as I check back and look back in Scripture, we read in the book of Acts and other parts of the New Testament that the early Christians gathered together on the first Sunday. Not the first Sunday, rather, but they gathered on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why did they gather on Sunday as opposed to the Jewish Sabbath, Saturday? Well, I think you know it was the day of the resurrection. Christ arose on the first day of the week on Sunday. And so that is why we gather together. And that history, that pattern, that tradition, we might say, has incorporated in the Word of God, has come down to this day, where every Sunday we gather together. So really, in a sense, every Sunday should be Resurrection Sunday, should it not? But it came to pass a little while after the time of Christ that they started having a special day to recognize the resurrection of Christ. Whereas Christmas, we're not sure whether December 25th was the birthday of Christ or not, because there was no real time pattern that was established in the Word of God to pinpoint that. But we do know that this is the time of year Christ arose. Why? Why do we know that? Well, the Jewish Passover is celebrated about the same time every year and has been since the time of Christ. And just a few weeks ago, the Jewish people celebrated the Jewish Passover. By the way, that's why we're having a guy come in and do the Jewish Passover for us and show how it relates to Christ, as seen in the Old Testament. All right? And so the Christians, realizing that Christ arose right after the Passover, chose the first Sunday after the Passover. Or we would say the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. Some of you may wonder, why did Easter jump all over the place? Well, that's why. The first Sunday after the first full moon, but also the first Sunday after Passover. All right? And so there you have it. That's why we meet when we do. But besides all that, today is a special Sunday. I like to think of it as a highlight of our church calendar is Easter Sunday. And it's a time when some people won't come except on Easter Sunday. And so, well, we're glad you're here. But today especially, can we meditate on the resurrection? And not just on the resurrection, but on the cross itself leading up to the resurrection. Because as it's displayed behind me, really it all began on the cross. And the cross is where our sins are forgiven. A cross is where the atonement took place. And so this morning, instead of just focusing on the sufferings of Jesus, focus on the meaning and the purpose behind the cross. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 5. And as you do, we're going to have John Sandholtz come up and read Romans 5, 6 through 19. John?
We're not going to read responsively this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and read this, but I'd like you to follow along. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
This passage tells us more the meaning behind the cross rather than just the actual physical sufferings. It was a place of obedience. In verse 19, as John just read, it says, so by the obedience of one. That one is Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful, aren't you, that he was obedient all the way to the cross. Amen. And his obedience brought what it says in verse 19, that we shall be made righteous. Righteous. Righteous is a right standing before God. You know, there's no way we could be righteous in our own flesh. There's no way we can be righteous in our own good deeds. We're all filthy sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, earlier on in that passage as we were reading, if you have your Bible still open, you could look at it. It says in verse 8, it says, while we were yet sinners. Sinners. And that's a word we don't use much today. Makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? All right? Sinner means missing the mark. Means missing the mark of God's holy standard. Do you realize, folks, that God has a high and holy standard of where he wants us to be in our lives? The Ten Commandments reveal that. Other places in Scripture reveal that. And we wouldn't be dishonest to say that we've done everything perfectly. We'd be honest to say we've sinned somewhere. We've messed up somewhere. I don't see too many people nodding their head. I'm nodding my head, okay? Nod if you've sinned. Well, that's humble to do, isn't it? Okay. We have, though. All of us as sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice, here's the good news. It says in verse 8, Christ died for us. Now, that implies that we deserve to die. Have you ever thought about that? You deserve, and we're not talking, I say, well, pastor, preacher, I know that I'm going to die one day. I'm going to go in the grave. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eternal death in a place called hell. Do you realize you deserve that? You say, well, that's offensive to me. Yeah, well, it's the Bible, what the Word of God says, because I need it too. I deserve it too, okay? And so we deserve to die. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but it says he died for us. Think about this. He died in our place. He was my substitute. I like watching basketball. You know what they have a lot of times? And the March Madness is over, and now the pro leagues are going on. They have what they call substitutes come in all the time. What does that mean? One person leaves, the other one takes his place, all right? You know what? We deserve to die. We deserve to spend eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ, the good news of life and salvation, for the good news for the world, is that Jesus died in our place. But make it personal, he died for me. When he died on that cross, he died so that I can live and spend eternity with him. Verse 9, it says, it calls us being justified. Now that's a good word, good Bible word. It's a judicial word. It means God declaring a guilty sinner, we're guilty, as we stand before the throne of God, God declaring a guilty sinner, not guilty. It's as if he reaches the gavel, all the evidence has been presented to show us our guilt and sin and worthy of death, and we're waiting for God's gavel to slam down and say, guilty, condemned to hell for all of eternity. Instead, he slams it down and says, not guilty. Why? Because the price has been paid. Jesus paid the price. And notice it says, we're justified, done then there, by what? Read it with me. By his blood. Wow, wonderful. And then it uses another great Bible word. And I'm not going to go through this whole passage. I'm tempted. But it has a great Bible word. It says, we'll be saved. You ever hear somebody say, have you been saved? There's some guy I was talking to on the airplane one time, and I asked him, have you been saved? And he looked at me, he says, is that born-again stuff? I said, yeah, it's that born-again stuff. Have you been saved? And we'll talk about this more later, but saved doesn't mean an encounter with God or drawn closer to him. It means repenting of your sins and accepting what Christ has done. But it says, we shall be saved from wrath. God's wrath was poured out on Christ on that cross. And if we accept it as our payment, we'll be saved from that wrath. If we don't, can I tell you something that's fearful? God's wrath on us. Either we can accept the wrath of God that was already poured out on his son at the cross, or we'll have to experience that wrath ourselves in hell one day. So the cross is so rich in all that happened. It says it was through him, that is through Jesus, saved from the place of God's wrath, eternal hell, to the place of eternal bliss in heaven. And listen, that's only accomplished through Christ and Christ alone. The choir would like to sing that song for you right now.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. In the beginning of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.
You know, the cross did not end at all, did it? And that's the glorious message we have. By the way, the only thing that separates, not the only thing, the greatest thing that separates Christianity from any other religion in the world is that we have a risen Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. All other prophets are dead and buried. Jesus is alive in heaven today. He rose victorious that third day, as we sang, up from the grave he arose. And I can always try to imagine the joy that must have been experienced on that Easter morning. Can you enter in with that imagination with me just a minute? The ladies, as they came to the tomb, wondering, as the Gospels of Mark and Luke tell us, wondering who is going to roll the stone away, because they wanted to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. Can you imagine their surprise as they come to that tomb and see the stone already rolled away, which would take 3 or 4 strong men to roll this stone away from the entrance to the tomb. And as they come, they see 2 angels sitting there and the angelic message in verse 6, He's not here. Well, where is he? It says, For he is risen as he said. What a message. He is risen. Amen. Can you say that with me? Just say it with me. He is risen. Well, we need to proclaim that on the rooftops, don't we? As he said. And they remember, then they start remembering, oh yeah, he did say he was going to rise again. And then the angel said this, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And that tomb was empty. We're going to talk about that tonight, the empty tomb. So I won't tell you any more about that. But I'd like you also to see, it says the next thing, come and see. But then it says for us Christians, it says go quickly and tell. Come and see and go tell. Can I encourage you right now to enter into the joy of those ladies on that resurrection morning as the choir sings the song, Resurrection Victory.
For all eternity. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelations chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
You know, the resurrection victory culminated in the exaltation of Christ. And that passage Duane just read talked about how God will highly exalt him, and he is exalted today. He's exalted by the world. God has given him a name which is above every name. But can I tell you this? One day there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a day that'll be. And in Revelation chapter 21, as Duane read about the New Jerusalem, that is the day when Jesus will rule and reign. First in the 1,000-year reign of the millennium on the earth, and then in the New Jerusalem in the eternal state. And all nations and people will bow down unto him and recognize him for who he is. But can I tell you this, that the promise of the exaltation of Christ does not just pertain to the world in general, it pertains to us as individuals. Because Jesus lives, so shall we. You see, he rose from the grave. Because he rose, we shall arise as well. And we have a hope that in this life, when it is ending, we will have that hope in eternity. Because he lives, so shall we. No more pain, no more night, no tears, all things new. The resurrection ensures our eternal home. The choir is going to sing, No More Night. Amen and amen. I did not read the last verse there in Philippians chapter 20, excuse me, Revelation 21 in verse number 5. We finished reading there, but the next verse goes on to say this, Revelation 21 and verse 6. And just listen, it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." You know, the Lamb makes all things possible by his death and resurrection. And the greatest news of all is that water of life that came from Jesus, it's free. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to purchase it. We don't have to crawl through five layers of mud under barbed wire. Nothing. Some of the Rangers do that in the military, I've heard, all right? Nothing except that free offer of salvation, which he provided on that cross. It says, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Have you taken of that water of life? You see, there's our responsibility. The choir just sung about some wonderful things. Oh, how wonderful is the cross where payment of sin took place. How wonderful is the resurrection of Christ that we serve a risen Savior. And then how wonderful it is that one day we'll be in God's presence in heaven with no more tears, no pain. What a wonderful eternity that is. But that's God's part. Your part, you say, well, Pastor, you don't have to work for it. And you don't. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. It's a gift. It's free. But you must take it. As illustrated often, when someone's handing you something, maybe you got handed something this morning. How many of you got new outfits today? Grit, come on, be honest. All right, I new tie. Okay, there we go. It was handed to me. But you know what I had to do? I had to reach out and take it. I didn't say no thank you. And I didn't just leave it sitting there on the chair this morning. I think I would have broke my wife's heart. Maybe not. It's not that expensive a tie, but anyway. But you see the picture. The picture is we must take it. Have you taken it? Have you received it? Do you remember a time in your life that you've done that? You know, today there'd be no better day to do that than to take the water of life freely. Can we bow our heads, please? Amen. With no one looking around, I'm going to pray in just a minute, but in this quiet moment, Christ might be speaking to your heart. He loves you. He created you. He wants to have a relationship with you in heaven forever. He died for you. He rose for you. He ascended and lives for you. But you must take him. And if you don't take him, you've rejected him. Would you not take him today? This might be the first time you've heard this presented in a long time. This might be the first time you've ever heard presented it. But you need to be born again. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just an encounter with God. It doesn't mean, well, I'm going to start reading the Bible more. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go to church more. No, it means that you repent of your sins. Say, dear God, I realize I am a sinner. I admit it. And dear God, I realize that my only hope is found in Jesus and his death on that cross where he paid the payment for my sin. And I want today accept him as my Savior. Now, that's a prayer you can pray. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you pray that prayer right there, right here and right now, in your seat, you can be saved. I just heard of a story of a girl gave her testimony, and she said, I got saved in church while the pastor was preaching. That's a good time to get saved. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can pray that prayer to the Lord right now if you've never done so. I trust that you will. But let me ask, maybe you say, I'm not sure. I'm a little confused. I'm not sure about all this, Pastor, of what I need to do, but my heart maybe is pounding right now, and I know I need to get something settled. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand, would you? Anyone at all? It would be our joy and delight to introduce Christ to you today. Nothing would give us greater joy. Worry around friends. Okay, is there anyone? Just simply lift your hand. I can pray for you. I won't point you out, embarrass you, make you stand up or anything. All right. Christians, what about you? Maybe it's time to get back on fellowship with God. Maybe it's time to get back in a right relationship with him. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but maybe on this Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019, you renew your dedication to God. Maybe you dedicate your life anew and afresh to God in a real way. Say, yes, I've been saved, but I've been off track. Would you do that? Christ not only wants to save you, but he wants that close daily walk with you. You can't be happy unless you have that. Would you renew that to him today? Father, we pray that you'll have your will and way. Lord, I've said all I can say, but Father, your Holy Spirit has to work and do what I cannot do, or the choir does, or anybody else. And Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would the cross and the resurrection impact us so much this morning that we make our decision anew and fresh to follow you? If there's one here today without Christ, may they get saved this morning. While our heads are bowed, eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you to do one more thing. Would you please be in a prayerful spirit as you stand? Would you stand together with me just right now? Everyone just stand to your feet. And please keep your head bowed and eyes closed for just a minute more. Don's going to come and lead us in the invitation hymn. And well, he's not even going to come yet. We're just going to let the piano and organ play. As they play, if you want spiritual help, we want to be here for you. And so would you just slip out a second while everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, and so we can catch you before you leave, and just have a counselor take you to a side room and just listen and pray and maybe share the word of God with you. Would you do that as the instruments play? If God's burden your heart, would you come?
Take your hymn books, please. Turn to hymn number 213. We'll sing the first and the last verses of Because He Lives. 213, Because He Lives.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and
Well, we certainly want to just give all the praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus, but I appreciate the choir, all the work that they put in. I was just thrilled to sing it with them. Didn't they do a great job? Thank you, choir. Appreciate that. Thank you. Steve had a cast on his fingers this morning when he came in, but thank the Lord they worked. No, they didn't. Steve, thank you so much for playing and those that have put a part in that. Just want to glorify the Lord today. Enjoy your family. Don't forget to thank the God for the resurrected lamb. Let's be closing a word of prayer, and I'll be in the back with my wife if she can slip out. Love to meet you this morning. Richie Johnston, good and loud from the back, if you'll please dismiss us, sir.